Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. Kind of a short news day today. Jim and I were just talking about that today. The biggest news of today really is that Nancy Pelosi, after almost 20 years, let's say after a very long time, will be stepping down as a Speaker of the House. Apparently, a position was held open for her in the administration to be the ambassador to Italy, and apparently she wants to stay in Washington, D.C. I'm assuming it's just not automatic that she will be the minority leader. So we have the end of an era. By the way, I want to say I'd like to get some comments on that. And I responded to virtually every comment yesterday, which I will do every single day from now on because I'm selfish. You know, I don't have a lot to do, and I really love you guys, and I really enjoy your comments. So I got most of them last night, and it's really, really fun for me to do that. Some of the comments I thought were really pretty astute, actually. Jim, changes in the Republican Party. We agreed yesterday that some changes have to be made. What is kind of the radar right now to change within the Conservative Party?
So around the country, there's a big push right now. And I mentioned a little bit yesterday in previous shows.
Yeah.
But basically, there's a fight between the people that are actually focused on America First type policies. When I say America First policies, I'm going to say individual security, you know,
sure,
law enforcement support,
a
strong border, keeping people safe, bringing manufacturing back to the United States, expanding our economic opportunities, getting away from appeasement and this kind of woke culture, allowing free speech and individual rights. Cutting taxes, or at least cutting the overhead. I don't know. Very few politicians are really up for cutting taxes these days. But the bottom line is there's a big push to take away the leadership in Republican Party committees around all over the country that have sat around and been an elitist club at the country club that have kind of, you know, they're conservative in their basic values, but they really have alienated others. And they are very appeasement oriented.
Yeah.
So that push is happening at state, local, county levels. It's an important change, I think, that captures the needs of the working class. The Republican Party has not been representing the working class very well. But a lot of people are conservative. A lot of people that just, you know, they want to be able to live their lives. They want to go to church. They want to be able to speak freely.
Yeah.
They see what's happening in the schools, and they're frustrated about it. And so there's a big push. I see it happening here in South Carolina. I saw it happening, that battle in Washington State, kind of the Rhino versus the, if you will, the Trumpian ideologies, the America First ideologies. And it's going to be a battle that is long running.
I think it's a battle that needs to be won, however, because right now the Democrats are kind of considered to be the party of the working class.
Well, they were, you know, that's how they made their brand was, hey, we work for the blue collar worker. We're for the minorities.
Right.
But it turns out that they're actually working for big corporate interests that are not interested in protecting jobs in the United States, but the lowest dollar moving from China. The Republicans have, you know, some of the senior Republicans, the globalist ideologues, the neocons, had felt that this was the direction we should go. It was a huge mistake. It was kind of like allowing, you know, George Bush really pushed for Hispanic, you know, to get Hispanics into the party. But he did it by more immigration, by opening a border. And it was a mistake. And what you've seen is that Hispanics are moving more towards the Republican Party because they have those basic conservative values. But they want people to come to the country through the legal process, not illegally across the border. And, you know, they're also incredibly frustrated with the morality issues that we're facing in the U.S. right now. We're being driven by a very elitist group of people based in with Hollywood ideologies that are basically corrupt. And in my view, the Democrats have bought into that. The major corporations fund them. And the way that this works that many people don't realize, and probably most of our listeners don't realize, is the amount of power that these massive PACs have in order to control the agenda for each one of these representatives, because they think their most important job is to get reelected again. And they'll say whatever they need to say to appease their constituency back home, whether it be blue or red. And you know, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the Paul or the you know, Paul Ryans, the Mitch McConnells that will say one thing and do another and basically tube the American people.
I want you to do me a favor, Jim. I want you to basically define the concept of a PAC.
Yeah, so basically what happens is, you know, we're all limited to how much we can give to each candidate. So like $2,800 in a cycle. That's the max that an individual can give. Now, and that's the max anybody can give to a direct candidate. However, what has been allowed through, since the Citizens United was organizations to form political organizations to influence outside of the individual contributions to a candidate. So these PACs collect money, and the money they use for campaign commercials that support different candidates, though they can't coordinate or cooperate directly with the candidate, they know the ideology and they push those agendas. And now what used to be limited, you know, you could get influenced by, if you gave a guy $2,800, he might listen to you. If you gave him $50, maybe not. Now these PACs, well, for instance, in Oregon, this FTX guy, Sam Bankman-Fried, 30-year-old crook, he dumped $27 million into a PAC, and $10 million of it went to a candidate in Oregon that lost their primary election. Now, that $10 million doesn't go directly to the candidate. What it does is it does advertising that may support the candidate, but it can't be coordinated with that candidate's campaign.
Yeah.
So these PACs become incredibly influential in the election process, and it takes away the individual's votes and influence because you really have very limited ability to you know, support, you know, to fight against these massive amounts of dollars. And if the guys that are trying to use the system, the McConnells, the conservatives, and the Democrats that are trying to use the system to their advantage want that money for the commercials because they justify it as, well, that's the only way I'm going to get my message out is through these commercials. I tend to disagree with that entire philosophy. I think that people, if they understand and they communicate and they meet you, there's a higher probability you'll have success. And you will notice in this election cycle, there was most of the candidates, especially the conservative candidates that lost, the Trump, some of these high profile Trump supported candidates that lost, they were outspent like 10-1 in these races because they weren't out reaching for that type of money because they thought it was, you know, corrupt. But the races themselves were much closer than expected in many of the cases. And, you know, it's the sad thing is our system is going to the highest bidder or the corporations that fund these PACs. It used to be, you know, that you kind of split between Republicans and Democrats, and the big corporations actually supported the Republicans more. Small donations were less. Now you get small donations to the Democratic Party, and you get big corporate donations to the Democratic Party because of the tech company, the younger people, the ideologies that really support the globalization, and they're controlling the message through their media outlets and through the tech level control and censorship. So these things have to be fixed.
Yeah.
They have to be fixed or we've lost it. And I'm sorry, but you know, I'm not going to give up on it, but I know a lot of people are frustrated and tired of it.
Well, globalism is a very hard concept to beat if you're not really into nationalism. The reason I say that is the Democratic Party basically has very effectively established itself as a party of all people, sexual preference, etc., etc., doesn't matter, etc., etc. And so there are a lot of what I would call straight people who feel that's a good thing. They interpret the Bible, for example, as saying that God loves all people, which he does. There's no question about that. There are certain parameters, however, if you read the Bible carefully. But it is a tough thing to beat in the sense that, I remember the fellow who I used to do the radio show with years and years ago, Paul Warren. Paul was a very, very, very avid member of the LDS Church. And he and I used to talk politics a lot. And Paul was saying that, you can't just concentrate on making life better for Americans. You have to concentrate on making life better for all people. And that's, in effect, what globalism, that is the, in a sense, the perceived definition of globalism. The tough part about that is that America also really needs help right now. And that's why I am very much a nationalist, because I don't think America will be able to help the world unless their prowess is increased significantly from where it is right now. I'd like to know what you think about that out of the box, Jerry, and I'd like to know what you think about that, John Kay, because I really think that at this particular stage of our development, rather than use the word development, let me use the word evolution. I really think at this particular stage of our evolution, America really needs to work on its own agenda for a time being. And then at that point, they can expand their we can expand our horizons and work on helping people all over the world. And I think that's a natural outcome of where we would go, because the American people are good people. Jim, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I just don't. So here's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Let's get out of trying to help anybody else. Okay. Let's focus on being the best ourselves.
Yeah.
We are better as being an example than we are of trying to get involved in other people's business.
Okay.
Let's be an example, be a light to the world, which is exactly what our founding fathers wanted us to be.
Right.
And quit worrying about trying to help somebody else. It's kind of like the homeless situation and the beggars on the street, especially around you. The same people for years have been at the same corners asking for money.
Yeah.
Now, are they actually reaching out for help? No, because people support them because they've been manipulated. Mm-hmm. And what is so infuriating to me is the whole ideology that somehow we're going to make it better by giving people something for nothing. We can't.
Yeah.
They will continue to depend and beg, and that is exactly the problem with our system of government right now. We have a government that thinks its responsibility is to bail people's problems out and be responsible for them, and our society thinks that the government's responsible for their lives instead of ourselves.
Yeah.
That is incredibly frustrating. And we are not responsible for the world.
No.
We're responsible to take care of the American citizens. Our government is responsible to take care of us.
Yeah.
Other people can look at us as an example and try and shape it. But right now, we're a terrible example. We are a terrible example.
I agree. So, no, I agree with that. And one thing I've learned in life is that the best way to market an idea is by example. That's an old AA philosophy, and I believe it 100%. You can talk a subject into the ground, but you have to, by example, show why it makes sense. In the case of homelessness, for example, as Bill Clinton said back when he was running the executive office, he said he was not for what I would call welfare. He said, people need to work their way out of the hole that they've dug for themselves. And if we could have a national policy with that philosophy, I think the world in total would be helped, and I think that Americans would certainly be helped.
Yeah, and I think, I think that we have to, I've said there are four things that really the Democrats or the Republicans that are taking the House need to do, and I have no idea if they'll actually do it. My guess is they're going to focus on the headline grabbing things rather than working on the issues that they feel afraid of.
Yeah.
First one is they need to investigate voter integrity, voter IDs, and what potential problems there are. Josh Shapiro, the governor-elect of Pennsylvania, has just announced the indictment of one of his campaign people for fraudulently collecting 1,000 votes in 2019, though they've been reviewing it, and he was the attorney general for 3 years before they indicted. Now, he hasn't said anything until now. So he cannot deny voter fraud. But Pennsylvania was one of the key places where there was absolute evidence of voter fraud in 2020.
Yeah.
So you've got to do that. The Republicans have got to investigate that. And there's already been studies out there with Jimmy Carter, a coalition, saying that the mail-in balloting is corrupt.
Yeah.
The number thing you have to do, you have to get very deep into what's happening with the DOJ and the FBI and their corruption. That's unbelievable what they have done in order to politicize those agencies. They have to open that up. That can of worms has to be shown to the American people.
I agree.
The third thing they've got to do is they've got to stop the censorship from the tech companies and investigate and highlight that, because each one of these are related to the above. You know, the DOJ, FBI using the media to silence people, the Biden administration silencing people, using the FDA and threats in order to silence scientists on the COVID problems. And the last thing they have to do is actually do a thorough review of the entire COVID response. They've got to do that. And each one of these things will open up the big picture for Americans to see what happened with the corruption with Hunter Biden because of the DOJ and the FBI protecting him while attacking the entire Trump administration. It goes to the cover up of voter ID when the media and the tech companies are censoring.
Yeah.
So this is what they need to do, and I don't know if they're going to have the guts to do it or not.
No, my personal opinion is trying to indict Hunter Biden is a total waste of time. The president will never let that happen. I don't know specifically how he's going to stop it because the man has obviously broken many laws. I mean, the man he was asked to leave the United States Navy, et cetera, and so I don't know how he's going to stop it, but he will. Hunter Biden is, I think, on a pedestal right now, and nothing at all is ever going to happen to him. That's just my opinion. Do you agree or disagree?
I think that the Justice Department will do some token charge and drag it out for a long time to pretend like they're doing something.
Right.
They will not look deeply into the connections of Hunter Biden, his business dealings in conjunction with his father, who's the president of the United States, dealing with China, Ukraine, and all the other corrupt entities that they did. So that's going to be pretty tough. Again, these types of questions have to be looked at as in the broader context of the congressional hearings on the FBI and the Department of Justice and the intelligence community and their manipulation of information and protecting political.
I personally don't think that's going to happen. Jimmy, it's been really an interesting, in my opinion, daily editorial. I think that your comments and my comments on nationalism are really worth thinking about. You know, the Lord helps those who help themselves. And that's, in essence, what I am saying, for lack of better terms. And I think that's the philosophy that America must have. Having said that, love to get your comments on this one, you guys. You know, you're like family to me. I don't know, as Jerry mentioned, we have been debating issues somewhat similar to the issues we're reporting on and debating right now for literally 2 decades. It's been a long time. Thanks very much. And Jim, thanks for your support and thanks for your input today.
You bet, Al. Always.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.